You know, whenever I think about, when I teach on dealings or the dealings of God, my biggest concern is that the very thing the Lord said people should not do about dealings is what people do to such teachings. When he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. People hear this kind of teachings and say things like, is God that wicked? Are you with me? Is he that hard? All these law preachers, all these legalistic people, no problem. Are you with me? When you study the Bible is replete with the dealings of God with men. Let me read the text to you, and then we go into fireplace. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me read from verse 1. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto thy your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord God, thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Hey. There are some things you read in the Bible and you have to be careful so that you don't feel bad. This is Bible. Are you with me? This is Bible. It says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Does this sound familiar? This was actually what Jesus was quoting in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Ha! Thank God the Bible explains itself. Because someone can take this verse 3 and says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. But it did not stop there. And fed thee with manna. So, if it was all about suffering, he shouldn't have fed you, right? Are you with me? If God was just about getting people to suffer, he shouldn't have given them food at all. Let them really, really suffer. No. He fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's a sermon on its own. It means he was trying to show them, as important and as powerful as what bread is, how you will survive, you will not know. I will be the one that will make it happen. It's important to work hard and be a breadwinner. Please do that. But how you will transit from where you are into what God has planned for you, it not be by your power, not by your might. Are you with me? Are you with me? I've heard people say things like, how my salary is not enough for me and my children, but somehow I cannot really explain. Are you with me? God made a way. Have you ever heard people talk like that before? Eh?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Okay, you want to pray more, Abby? Today you will pray. Then he goes in verse 4 and says, thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy food swell these 40 years. Do you know that they did not know? God will have to tell them. Do you know what it means that for 40 years, your shoe did not spoil? Say after me, God can be trusted. It says, and thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Does this sound familiar? This was where Hebrews chapter 12 was quoting from. When I read this text, it dawned on me that God is very particular about our hearts. Please, are you listening to me? Your heart is more important to God than any other thing around you. Can you imagine? He was taking them through the entire 40 years simply because of their hearts. Are you with me? Because of their hearts. Part of the problems God had with them is that there are many things. Unbelief, pride. Are you with me? I'm going to show you. We talked about one on Sunday. That God knew that when they see war, they will turn back. And so he took them through a longer route. Meaning, just making up your mind that no matter how tough things are, I will not back out, I will believe God, can make your journey faster. Are you with me? Remember we quoted that from Exodus 13, I think from verse 17. That he took not through them through the way of the Philistines, even though it was near. Because he knew that when they see war, they will turn back. That means there are some kind of exposure that God cannot give to some people because he knows that they have not learned how to fight. Some people will prefer not to have battles at all. God knows that in this pathway, there will be battles. So the earlier you learn how to fight, the better for you. That's what the word we'll talk about in fireplace. Have you, you know, I discovered recently that a person that does not pray is because you have not seen real problem. You have not seen what to make you pray. That's why. A person that says, fasting is so hard. We know why. There is what you will see. Eh? Nobody will beg you to fast. You won't even know when you have fasted. You will not know when you have done it. I had to face something 2 weeks ago. I did not know. I was telling Pastor Kenny, I did not know when I prayed for 6 hours. I was still, it was when I looked at the time, I said, 6 hours have come and gone. It was the next day morning I remember that I did not eat throughout the previous day. And you see that thing, you will need it. One day you will need it. Are you with me? Now, see verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat. See verse 9. This one I want you to say amen. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Amen. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Amen. Amen. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and thou art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee. Amen. Amen. This already tells you that there is a difference between managing and abundance. In the wilderness, were they not eating? Please answer me, were they not eating? Was God not giving them manna? Was God not providing for their shoes and their clothes? But God knew that there was a place that was higher and better than that. Why am I saying this? We are living in a day where anytime the church talks about prosperity and abundance, it looks like we are sinners. It's not, are we the ones that wrote the Bible? Are you with me? God told them, I know you are eating manna in the wilderness. I'm the one that gave you that manna, but there is a higher level where you will eat bread without scarceness. Receive it in Jesus' name. Then he says in verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou art eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions. Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, thy my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. Are you seeing why he was doing the dealing? You see, there is a way you see somebody, you know he has not gone through anything. God has not dealt with him. When you see a person that is very proud, difficult to take instructions, difficult to honor the Lord, difficult to receive correction, and he's in so-called prosperity, he did not pass through his dealing well. Or he passed through it and he has forgotten. That forgetfulness will bring him back to where he's supposed to continue the dealing again. Are you with me? There's a way you see a person boast and brag. You know, you did not pass your exams. You didn't pass your spiritual exams. Think, if you were Joseph, how will you brag? If you were Joseph, how will you brag? That you know that if not for the providence of God with your gift, you would have ended up in the prison. If not for the providence of God that made Pharaoh to dream when he dreamt, and not just that he dreamt, his former prison mates remembered him. Have you not seen cases where they know you are good for the job? They are struggling with it, but they would rather struggle than call the person they know is good. Have you heard of things like that? As I prepared that teaching, it dawned on me that even in your lowest state, God is with you. He wants to make good at your later end. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Let me leave this topic. And I don't like the way you are responding. Are you with me? In Jesus' name. Okay. To build from that, we're talking about what we've called fireplace. Glory. Now, if you watch many of these films that capture houses abroad, in many houses abroad, because of their temperature, they have a place they call fireplace. You know what I'm talking about, right? Even if you don't know, just pretend more. You know, right? In those houses where in the parlor, in the sitting room, you see a place where there is a structured hearth that contains fire to keep warm and all that. And it's designed for the heating of the room. Are you with me? Somebody's wondering, Pastor, how does that relate to this consecration now? You know, somebody told me, anytime I come to New Breed, I made up my mind that I know I'm coming to a school, because even from the titles of the sermons, you'll be wondering, what does Pastor want to talk about here now? Praise the Lord. You see, the whole concept of consecration is about being set apart for God. Are you with me? Being set apart for the Lord. Radically devoted to God. And this means that in every area of our lives, there must be some sort of being set apart or consecration towards God. Are you with me? And that's what we've been talking about in different lenses throughout the month of August. We've talked about being excited about the Lord, delight in the Lord, being set apart unto God. Are you with me? Being satisfied in God and all that. But today, on this subject of fireplace, it means that in our work of consecration, There must be a place where we have an intimate spiritual relationship with God. Are you with me? Just the same way in a house, every other place maybe can be for dining, for the sitting room, for the master's bedroom, the kitchen. There must be a place for the fire. Are you with me? There must be a place for the fire. There must be a place set out for the fire. So when we talk about fireplace in respect to our consecration or radical devotion, we are saying there must be a structured, separated, secluded space for ignition, for spiritual ignition, for spiritual connection. Are you with me? And so, I've given you dictionary definition of fireplace. Let me give you our own definition. The fireplace is a secret devotional life. Are you with me? It's a secret devotional life and practice that powers your walk with God and your consecration to Him. Glory! The fireplace is a secret devotional life and practice that powers your walk with God and your consecration to Him. You see, one of the reasons why many people struggle in consecration is because they don't have a secret fireplace. The truth is, the man who burns before God in the secret will be consecrated to God openly. We are living in a day where people are quick to show their fire publicly. Right now, can you rattle in the spirit? They will now put their mouth like this. Lakata. And put your hand like this. Lakapa. Do you do it in the secret? I know you can groan publicly. Do you do it in the secret? Praise the Lord. There was one brother years ago, when it's time to pray in tongues, there's the way his tongue should sound. I come on, am I? Once he starts shouting, like, one day, we're now praying in a small gathering. After the shout of Aiko, like 1 hour, 2 hours, we didn't hear his voice again. But my words are not enough. Everybody was still praying. Where? God help us. After this, we said, brother, Aiko, where are you, sir? Are you with me? Another name for this can be called the secret place, but we use fireplace intentionally. So that you understand that this is not even just about I have a walk with God or I walk with God. What I'm trying to say is, it's better put like this, I burn with God. I burn with the Lord. Can you say after me, I burn with God? Look at Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6 from verse 8 to 13. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 1, 2, 3, go, verse 9. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and shall take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and shall carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. All these things are significant. So, all these things. He's trying to say that the cloth he used during the time of the burning is different from the cloth he will use when he's taking out the... It seems like there is a regalia
in the secret place, and there is a different regalia when you are manifesting what you carry from the secret place.
But well, let's go on. Verse 12. Everybody read verse 12, 1 to 3, go. And the fire shall be on, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. If you study this group of verses, there is the sacrifice that burns throughout the night till morning. And there is the one he puts in the morning. How many of you noticed that? Look at verse 13, verse 12, you see what I'm saying. He shall burn wood on it every morning. But we just read there was a fire that was burning throughout the altar. That means, oh my God, are you with me? Now, it is easy to look at this group of verses and say, oh, no, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not a Levite. Neither am I in the Old Testament. But we will run to the New Testament and quote Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, that he has made us kings and priests. Glory! We have been kings and priests. I just remembered something now. Somebody may say, no, it's not kings. It's queens and... Praise the Lord. We are all involved, male and female, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And that's not the only place he talks about our royalty in Christ. He also says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. I like this one. That you cannot say whether it's male or female. Royal priesthood. Amen. Say after me, royal priesthood. So that means we are priests before God and we have royalty with us. So if we are priests before God, that means the work of the priest in Leviticus 6, that we will burn incense on our altar, also applies to us. Are you with me? Now look at Matthew 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. The Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Anytime I read this text, so many things get my attention. What does it mean? Pray to thy Father which is in secret. Does God not exist openly? It seems to me that there is a kind of relationship that you can only experience with God in the secret. Are you with me? Even concerning Sunday's teaching, when we talked about the dealings of God, another question that should be answered is, okay, Pastor, you say God can tell us this. All about people who have not started hearing God. For them, their own job is to go and start seeking God in secret until God can speak to you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. People who have heard me teach this before, I like to talk about the God who speaks in secret. The God who speaks and sees in secret shall reward thee openly. If you have followed me before, I've thought about these things before. I've said, ask questions like, what are you doing in secret that God can reward openly? What are you doing in secret? Especially now that we are living in a day that everything, there's almost no secret thing. Everything is online. Everything is on. Everything everybody will see. There are some that you look at, you just feel like, there are some things that I can never do. I'm not saying it's a sin, but I cannot do it. I don't know how to do it. How will I do it? Maybe because I was raised by the older patriarchs of faith. You got married. The next day, he's online. He said, this is just my day 2 of marriage. You know, the night was very anointed. The Lord moved. Why are you saying that? How does that concern us? How? Why? What do you mean by that? There is get ready with me. There are some people who get ready with me. We are not supposed to be seen. That kind of get ready with me, it does not belong to, for us to be seen. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. What are you doing in secret that God can reward openly? Where is your fireplace? Can you say you are burning in secret? You know, as I thought about this, it dawned on me how that it is very possible for people to be dying spiritually in their secrets and have a show of life publicly. And now I'm not advocating for, you know, the church people, sometimes we can take things to the extreme. There are some people, when they hear teachings like this, when they say pray in church, they don't pray. Say, do you know what I do with God in secret? Pray, be fervent. He said, no. Must I show it? You must show it. You must show it. I remember those days. I went to meet my pastor in church, Reverend Sam Odumo. I said, sir, I want to ask you a question. Which prayer is the most important? Which part of our prayer life is the most important? Is it the one we do in church or the one we do in the house? Because I think that my prayer life with God is more important than my prayer life in church. Then he looked at me and smiled. He said, if you think that your prayer life in church is more important than the prayer you're doing at home, it is eye service. If you think that the prayer you are doing at home is more important than what you are doing in church, it is self-service. It is tantamount to selfishness. Like, sir, what do you mean? He said, don't you know that when you come to church, your prayer life is to strengthen other people too? He said, we bring the fire from our personal altars and we charge up the corporate altar. And we take from the corporate altar back to our personal altars. He said, if you see a church that is dry spiritually, it's not just the pastor. The people too are responsible. I was like, The people are responsible because it's supposed to be an aggregation. When we come together, it's supposed to be an aggregation of personal altars. Are you with me? In a normal setting, the corporate altar ought to make your prayer altar at home stronger. Have you been in church before where the prayer was so strong, you felt like when I go back home, I will continue a little? That is what happens when the corporate altar is burning. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So I said, sir, so which one is most important? He said, the both are equally important. If you have a true, genuine, private altar, it will show in the corporate place. And if you are drinking from the corporate altar, it will show in your private altar. For instance, this sermon we are hearing now is from the corporate altar. Are you with me? It is something that you are going to carry back to your private place and ignite. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
Praise the Lord.
So the Bible says, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what are some of the rewards of the fireplace? Number one, spiritual rejuvenation and refreshing. Spiritual rejuvenation and refreshing. Spiritual rejuvenation and refreshing. When you feel like you are cold and losing your spiritual steam, your spiritual direction and motion, go and check your fireplace and check if there's still fire inside there. I'm serious. You know, that in those days, when a person is really cold, he will go near the fire, right? He will go near to get some heat. Let me tell you another one. When you feel like your emotions are having the better of you, go and check your fire. And you see something else. If you will make progress with God, you need to be careful of your emotions. You need to be, when I mean careful, you must know how to bring it under the lordship of the word of God. I know I've said it many times, I will keep saying it again. If you are waiting to feel like praying before you pray, you will not pray. Oh, I guarantee you, your feelings will not encourage you to pray. Have you ever prayed in tongues before where halfway in the prayer, you stopped because you felt like it was not going anywhere? Like, what am I even saying? Rika badabalaga barakata palakata jegedebelekete. Let me just think. Let me just think about my life. I guarantee you, when you start thinking, you will sleep. And you wake up more angry that the time you should have prayed, you drifted into thinking, and then you slept. Just pray. It does not make sense. Pray. Are you with me? Just. I'm realizing that the spirit realm, even when you are producing results, it may not show in the physical immediately. When you are. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a seed when it's planted. It is the least of all seeds. It is the least of all seeds. You will see this in Mark chapter 4. But when it grows, it becomes so big that the birds of the air cannot even come and settle under it and receive shelter. When you are building yourself in the kingdom, many times, at some point, you will feel like you are wasting your time. Are you with me? At some point, you will feel like you are wasting your time. What am I even doing? Is this prayer even working? When the result starts coming, you wish you prayed more. You know, I think I should do a YouTube video on this. When we talk about the mystery of a spiritual spine, there are certain things you hear some fathers of faith say. You know that generation. We need to learn, oh. When you hear Bishop Francis Wale Oke say he was praying and fasting for 189 days, I'm like, you said what? And it was not because he was just fasting to know God or to go deeper. There was a problem. There was something going on in his life. And he was praying about it. And every night he said he would wake up 12 midnight, he would pray from 12, 1, 2, 3, sometimes 12 to 1, sometimes 12, but every night, 12 o'clock, he prayed for at least 1 hour. He was going again and again, night after night, until one night, he said, while praying, God spoke to him audibly. Not, I sense it in my spirit, not, I dreamt, not that, oh, somebody gave me a word. He was standing, and his gaze started talking. Physically,
And God said, Francis, dance before me. No more praying. He says, dance before me and I will make the enemy, I will make all your enemies like dry breasts. That was the word he said. He said, by the next morning, everything has changed. I just started thinking about it. Can I stay on a matter? 100 days, 150, 180. That is more than half of the year. Are you with me? The people of the world, people in darkness, they know those things more than us. Oh, you don't know? When I knew that, what I want to say now? Well, I'll code it. There are some people in the world in search of political power, in search of, do you know what they have done? When somebody tells you, I did this for 1,000 days. you say, what? And somebody that has the sword of the spirit is sleeping. He's sleeping with his sword. He's just there. There's a lady I was going to call. I was praying and I had a vision. The Lord said, if she can just be more fervent in prayer, she would have broken through since. That's all I saw. I saw her praying more fervently, but the person I know about her, how I know her, she doesn't pray, she prays, Jesus, I just love you. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Auntie, enter fireplace. Are you with me? When you see, there is a way you see yourself just drifting. It's as if some wave of depression wants to eat up your mind. You cannot explain. You are losing your drive. You are losing your passion. You are losing your zeal. You don't even want to be a Christian again. You are now thinking more about the constructing Christianity. You are becoming more. You are just tired. You are tired of life. Tired of everything. Go and check the fireplace. There may be ashes there. Have you ever heard of, those of you who drive, have you ever heard of plug or spark plug? Spark plug. There are sometimes you want to start the car and they will tell you that the reason why the car did not start was that the spark plug is bad. Or check your plugs. Do you know what that thing is? Let me give you small mechanical engineering. Small. So, your battery, your car battery, it produces a very low volt, about 12 volts. And because it's so low, it cannot cause the combustion in the combustion chamber to move the piston and cause power for the car to start moving. So, what has to be done is they put an ignition coil. That ignition coil takes that 12 volts and converts it to like tens of thousands of volts. Are you with me? From there, that coil sends that magnified volts to your spark plug. Now, the spark plug is the connecting factor between the electricity generated and the combustion that will happen. The spark plug carries that volt and strikes it inside the combustion chamber. Are you with me? That electrical arc that is that flashes into the combustion chamber, when it comes there, it meets a mixture of fuel, air. When that spark meets the fuel and air inside there, fire starts burning. And then it pushes your piston, then the car starts. Some people don't. As long as I'm more confused. Are you with me? But what I'm trying to say is, without that spark plug, no matter how much that ignition coil is generating, there will be no ignition to cause the combustion, then for power to be ignited to get the car to be moving. There are sometimes, many of you, have you been in a situation before? You can feel like something is pushing you to pray, but you didn't open your mouth to pray.
You can feel like there is something heavy on your heart to pray. God is looking for you to cause a spark. And until you open your mouth and begin to blast in the spirit, there will be no fire, there will be no motion. Are you with me? So when you get to the point where it looks like your feelings are having the better of you, you feel like you are losing your... Let me tell you something. Many of you who are close to me, have you ever come close to me and asked you, what's the Lord saying? Some people are close to me. Yeah, used to that. I would say, what do you sense? And one day somebody asked me, Pastor, must I always be sensing something? I say, yes now. Oh, yes. Sometimes what you are sensing is that I'm enjoying God. It must not be anything deep. I'm enjoying God. On my way from Port Harcourt last week at the airport, I just started singing a song in my spirit. I believe my spirit was singing that song to tell me, you are just enjoying God. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can keep me burning. Only you can set my heart on fire. Until that day you will return, I will not fail. I will not falter. I will not disappoint my master until the day you will return. Whenever you feel like you are getting weary, go back and check. Maybe spark plug is not working again. Go and check. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Hey. Glory. His word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shot up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. So, even when I wanted to be discouraged, there was a word within me saying, you cannot be discouraged, sir. That already tells you that the word of God in your spirit is part of the makeup of the fireplace. Are you with me? Jeremiah 29 verse 23 verse 29. It says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? That's to further buttress the fact that the word of God in your spirit is like fire. There is a way you will read the Bible. There is a way you will take in the word of God. You know, Ezekiel said, and the word entered into me and set me upon my feet. That's what we call faith, too. What we call faith is the response of your spirit to the word of God. That the mountain that seems so big, there is what you will hear. You will like, hey! No, this thing is small. We can do it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at Revelation 3, verse 14 to 15. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, so I will know whether if you are cold, I can help you. If you are hot, I can sustain you. But now that you are in the middle and you are lukewarm, so then, because I am lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew it out of my mouth. You know, when you read this text of the Bible, some people say that spewing out of the mouth means losing your salvation. Well, this particular text did not particularly say that when somebody is spewed out of God's mouth, it means that the person has lost his salvation. Please, are you with me? What does it really mean? If you check that word mouth in the Greek, it is stoma. That's the Greek word, stoma. Stoma means the sharp edge of his sword. When God has spewed a person out of his mouth, that person is no longer part of the cutting edge of what God is doing. So it means that God has moved on in his program without that person. So when you ever find yourself at the point where you that before, when something regarding the kingdom, they have to call you or you are somehow involved, now you are at a point where you don't care. You're not interested. That's not a good place to be.
Are you with me?
That's not a good place to be. When the burdens of the Lord no longer bother you, you just want to be fine. As long as I'm going to heaven, I have a good family, I have a good car, I have a good house, I'm good. No, no. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You will also see in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that when the people, the disciples were threatened and they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus, they said, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the things that the chief priests and elders have said to them. And then they lifted up their voice and prayed. That, so it's as if they went to their fireplace. Are you with me? Sometimes, what I'm talking about, there is a way you see yourself going. There's a way you see yourself going. You go and call some brethren, come. Mr. Michael, come. You call them. You call some brethren. Don't just do ladies hangouts. You call them and say, you're my friend, Abby. You're my friend, Abby. See, I don't like the way I'm feeling. I just feel like we need to stir something. Are you with me? You have a group of friends. Even if you have friends that are married, you see this one. 4 years, no child. 5 years, no child. All of you come together. We're all girls. We're all brothers. Oh, yeah, let's pray. That's not the kind of prayer you pray. Oh, Lord God, you will do it. No, you pray ratakapalekete because you are making fire. There is a way you pray when you are trying to make fire. Are you with me? Yes, when you gather the wood together and you are fanning the fire to come to flame, you don't do it gently. Are you with me? The Bible says in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, it says when they were gathered together, it says they prayed and the place was shaking. Are you with me? Acts 4 from verse 31. It said when they had prayed, the place was shaking. The place was shaking and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Are you with me? So something began to happen. In fact, if you read to the end of that chapter, it says, and great grace was upon them. Great grace. Great grace. Say after me, great grace. Do you know what it means to pray? And the Bible says the place was shaking. This is not just, I'm observing my morning devotion. This is a fireplace. Are you with me? Are you with me? The way you are sounding, we will pray today. Praise the Lord. You cannot be praying this kind of prayer and scrolling on Instagram. You cannot do it. Have you seen somebody is trying to make fire and then he's scrolling? He put firewood together. It cannot work. This is not the kind of prayer you are praying. Then you will not go around. You will not look at the AC button. Ah, this button is fine. Rata kabalaba sekete. No. Please, are you with me? For rejuvenation and refreshing. For rejuvenation and refreshing. Number two. And this is where we'll end. And then we'll pray. Rewards of the fireplace for revelation and rescue. Now, please pay attention. Revelation and rescue. Acts chapter 28 from verse 3 to 5. The Bible says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat. Can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3, go. And laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Can you read another translation? Maybe
NIV. Let me see what NIV says.
Everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. As he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand.
Kai, what am I trying to say?
There are certain things that will be comfortable until heat comes. Have you ever heard people say things like, I don't like praying because when I want to pray seriously, that's when my problem used to multiply. Have you ever talked like that before? Have you heard of that thing before? Let me tell you, it may not be that your problem is multiplying. It is that your prayer is exposing the deeper works of the devil. The serpent came out because of the heat. And what did the serpent do? It bit Paul.
Hey. No, let me read it to you. What the people said. Acts chapter 28 from verse 3. Let me go back to my King James. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. The Bible says in verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So much to say from this two verses. Number one, see, don't conclude on people's predicaments that they are going through what they are going through because they missed God. Please, are you with me? You know what is happening? You know, those days, they believed a lot in mythologies and Greek folk stories. And so they were like, this man, he entered a ship. The ship scattered. The ship now landed them on Melita, the island of Melita. After he has come out from that one on the ship, remember, this is Acts 28. In Acts 27, that was when they had the shipwreck with Euryclidon. By the time they came to 28, they said, this man again, viper has come to find him. You are a murderer. You must be a murderer. Ah. Because problem, no, they live your life. But guess what? He was not. And then he shook the beast into the fire. The same fire that revealed the serpent was the same fire that destroyed the serpent. Are you with me? There are some things that will not be exposed until you start praying, until you release some heat, until you start producing some heat. You will not start saying, hey, hey. So wait. This is not ordinary. This is not ordinary. I am telling you, go and start praying and fasting. You will start seeing some things that, oh. There's one dangerous prayer that a friend of mine told me those days. He said, anytime you praise the prayer, something must happen. Lord, anybody in my life who Satan has planned to set up for me as a trap, expose and release them. He will now start seeing things. Those are dangerous prayers. Because sometimes God is trying to tell you, but you are not seeing. Praise the Lord. Let me show you another text. In fact, the text that convinced me that I should teach this is Psalm 81 from verse 6 to 7. Psalm 81 from verse 6 to 7. This was God talking in first person here. God said, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Glory. Everybody read verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah, every other thing they said after thunder, forget about it. My emphasis is, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. What does that mean? Let me tell you what I deduce from there. There is a secret place where the Lord speaks like thunder. Ha, Jesus.
It says, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. See, the thunder of God in your secret place is a weapon of warfare. Where you stay in that place of prayer, you stay in that place of prevailing prayer until you hear the voice of God like thunder. I'm saying this because people don't. This generation, God is trying to wake our awareness to it. We need to know how to fight. There are some things that you see. This thing is not normal. You need to go and fight until something comes out from the secret place of thunder. When God speaks to you, you know that it is done. It is, are you with me? The apostles, they learnt it. I went to research. How many days were they praying for Peter to be released? Bible history says they were praying for a minimum of 4 days to 1 week. Do you know what it means? That it was not 10-hour stretch, 1 week stretch praying for Peter to be released. You see, you know that popular text, when Peter was arrested, they had killed James. They had already collected Peter to kill Peter. And now, it was not even the apostles that were praying. You know, the way we do church now, we do church as if it's the pastor's business alone. This one, it was the people that rescued the pastor with their prayer. Not pastor, pray for us. It was the people that said, pastor, you will not die. Are you with me? Because James, as apostle as James was, James, bye. Please, are you with me? They killed James. They cut his head. Sharp. When they saw they took Peter, they said, come on. Bible says, prayer was made. I like the rendering of King James. Please put it. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Prayer was made. There is a way you pray when you are, you know, I can never forget Pastor Abraham Ujeme. He did not say prayer was said. Prayer was made. Prayer was made of the church without season. So they will do 4-hour shifts. They say, Lada branda kapala seke pende brata. Rada da da da. After 4 hours, they say, hey, another person, come, come, come. They'll do another 4 hours. Like that. They were going. Rekabarada bashata tapelete. After 4 hours, come again. They were continuing. Peter, you must be released. Reta kapa. They kept on going. One day has not been released. Okay, come, come, let's continue. Without ceasing, no break, no break. Repalataka. So I'm carrying on the brothers. Let me look for a sister. Come, come. Lerasata. Continue like that. Zeperete. Zabrada. Are you with me? Without ceasing. Without ceasing. Back to back. Back to back. Are you with me? You know, let me tell you why. Because there are some things that are time sensitive. It's time sensitive. It's not that, oh, must we pray that? There are some things, if you don't pray that time, that battle, you may lose it and you may never recover. Do you know what it means? James died. All the life and ministry that James would have done, it went. There's a way you see the devil moving mad like this. You say, no, let's go to the fireplace. Are you with me? And let me tell you the result of that thing they did. They generated so much heat. Eh? The thunder that came, it did not just release Peter, it killed Herod. They did not even say Herod died. Read the last chapter, the last verses in Acts chapter 12. You will see it. Let me search it out for you. Acts chapter 12 from verse 21. It says, upon a certain day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not the glory. He gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Everybody see verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So the very man that was saying, I will stop them, I will stop the gospel, I will stop. He hit something and then the people said, let's go to the fireplace. That means there are many losses that if the fireplace was working, could have been recovered. Are you with me?
Are you with me? Oh, believer, not for the show of it, not to prove that you are a prayer drinker, not for content, not for anybody's opinion. Get your fireplace working. Are you with me? And let me tell you, even if you don't want to get your fireplace working, just come around people, find people that are praying and just, let's go. Raise your hands and say, in the name of Jesus. From this time henceforth, my fireplace, my secret place of prayer, my secret place of devotion, come alive with greater fervor, greater intensity, greater fervor, greater fire, greater intensity. Can you begin to pray in the spirit? Let's make some fire. Ekabaragado seketelia, sepeleketepeleketelia, radon sepake paleka sate, alabaraka pande keteketelia, seketepelegedededege seketelia, erakapalande gededepeleketelia, mandereke seketepeleketelia. There is one on the throne, Jesus. Oh.